Hello, everybody. You're listening to EnlightenRadio.org, and we can get to us on www.EnlightenRadio.org. And coming up next is going to be Resistance Radio with the legendary Stuart Acuff, whose name is known across the country. And some cases, now I don't know whether he ever achieved the same fame that I did in the sense that I once had the company hand out to its foreman a dartboard with my picture on it. But I'm guessing that Stuart has had worse things done.
I have.
Anyway, should I start out with our little program here?
Yeah, this is a Memphis day because we celebrating today.
All right, buddy.
This is Sam and Dave from Stax Records in Memphis, Tennessee. Watch out, Meccano, we're coming! Getting hot up in here. Yeah. Welcome to the Victory Party on Resistance Radio. www.enlightenradio.org. It's March. I'm thinking about marching, y'all.
I'm thinking about the women's march.
I'm thinking about the
women's
month
march. Of March.
It's Stuart Acuff, your host on Resistance Radio, July 19, 2017. We have three great guests with us. Three of the women who led the fight to save Medicaid and to save Obamacare and to tell Capito, Shelley Moore Capito, our Republican senator, that you cannot destroy the lives of West Virginians. In action after action, a lobby visit after lobby visit, rally after rally, dying after dying, postcards after postcards, thousands of phone calls. Finally, we won yesterday. What a great victory it was. We stopped the Republicans who had the presidency. They have a majority in the United States Senate and a majority in the U.S. House of Representatives, but they cannot repeal Obamacare. They cannot repeal the Affordable Care Act, and they have shown their hand. They have shown whose side they are on. And it's not the side of working people. It's not the side of average people. It's not the side of children. It's not the side of women. It's not the side of people of color. It's not the side of working folks. They are only on the side of the fantastically wealthy.
Don't forget the veterans. Okay.
And they're not on the side of the veterans. Not on the side of the veterans. No, they love to send you off to war. They love to send you off to war. They're trying to figure out where we can go to war now so Trump can get his losing out of the newspapers and off of cable TV. You know, big part of the problem with Donald Trump is he watches too much cable TV and he lets it upset him. So we just got one.
He's not careful. He's liable to lose a war with Qatar.
You mean Cotter?
Cotter?
Cotter.
I thought that was a cab driver in New York. No.
Well, it probably is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's probably a neighbor of mine in Philadelphia. But he watches too much cable TV, and he gets all upset, and he's going to be looking for a war to send us off to fight. And when we come back, nor smoke nor drink. That's an old joke about a city in Virginia, Norfolk. Nor smoke nor drink. Anyway, we're having a great time today on Resistance Radio.
Can we test our microphone for Susan, for example? Make sure that's working. Yeah, just say say something profound, Susan.
Profound.
That stands for something profound, which is coming in a minute. Okay, go ahead, Stuart. We're good.
We are very, very, very happy to have three activist leaders from the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia. Dana Phillips, who is running a voter registration effort in Charlestown and is a huge proponent of school gardens. I was telling her and Susan the other day on our way back from Morgantown. We were there for a meeting and a strategy session. On our way back, I was telling Dana about poke salad. She had never heard of poke salad. But if you're going to grow greens in your school garden, you ought to go out in the springtime and collect poke salad to mix with the greens. That's a great dish. We used to eat that in my Tennessee schools. We have Susan Pipes, who is a great leader in the resistance in the Eastern Panhandle. And has done a great job helping to lead this fight with other women. This is a women-led movement in West Virginia, in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, and across the country. And we have Cheryl Kemp, a retired firefighter from Virginia. Don't mess with Cheryl. These are all great friends of mine. We're so John. And we have John Case, the inimitable, estimable John C. Case.
I am running for president.
Yeah, okay. Of Enlightened Radio.
No,
and
no,
you know we're going to elect you president of Enlightened Radio.
I'm going to form an alliance with a power. Okay, and then we ran for president 4 years ago as the WSHC ticket. You remember back when we you don't remember that? Do you?
How many states did you get on the ballot? The sweet shop. You had a ballot in the sweet shop, right?
You know,
no, it was Mellow Moods across the street.
You know, if you study the occult enough, you'll notice that there's different planes of existence. There's the material, there's the etheric, there's the astral. You know, there's all these different planes. John. In the astral plane, we were on the ballot in every state mind.
But I'm a Baptist, and like you, I'm a Quaker, and yes. We don't study the damn occult. We don't have nothing to do with the damn occult.
You mean you never talked to the Ouija voodoo lady down there in New Orleans? You know, you never head downriver and take the dark advice and, you know,
I may have
talked to a crow or two.
I may have done something I shouldn't do with somebody who turned tarot cards or red palms in Jackson Square of New Orleans. I may have done something I shouldn't do with one.
I bet
of them.
You had a good union member that was also, you know, dabbled in a
practiced
little bit of voodoo.
Wicca.
Come on.
Practiced Wicca. Probably did. You know, I organized a lot of Creole people in East Texas. A lot of Creole women. Anyway, it's such a great day here. Hold on! We're coming, Donald Trump! The people of the United States are coming! We done beat your ass! We beat you on immigration! We beat you on health care! We done beat your ass, and we're going to keep wearing that ass out. It's a big ass. There's more and more to wear out. Hey, Susan, I want to start with you. You know, you and I have been through a lot of this together. We were both in the meeting with Capito's aide yesterday.
Yes, we
Ms.
sure
Stotler,
were.
And we were both in that meeting, and you were filming as she made her she read the senator's statement to all
she
our
sure
people
did.
At the rally outside. I want you to describe for our listeners and for the two sisters on either side of you your feelings yesterday as they evolved. When did you feel joy about the result? Susan Pipes, y'all.
Hi. Yes, I'm Susan Pipes, and I am the outreach captain with Women's March of West Virginia for Shepherdstown. And we took several people into the office, and Karen Stotler, who's a representative for Senator Capito, sat down with us and was so graciously, as always, talking to us. And she, during the conversation, asked us if she could read a statement that Senator Capito had actually come out with shortly beforehand. It was seriously unbelievable at that time to hear those words where she expressed that she was not and had not come to Washington to hurt West Virginians. And to hear those words were just seriously elating and helped feel like that we have come to a victory that was really hard to come by, since all of us, the two ladies beside me and Stuart, we had gone to so many rallies and made so many hundreds of phone calls with all the men and women that were involved in this. And it was just a good victory for everyone in West Virginia. And I saw the faces in this meeting that we were celebrating, and the relief. And I know that a lot of us went home, and even though there was a sigh of relief, there was also, we know that this is not a fight that's over with, but for now we're celebrating because she stood up and she made a good decision for all of us.
Thank you, Susan. If you can, Cheryl's been a leader in the resistance. She's also working closely with the Democratic Party, West Virginia Democratic Party. Cheryl, why don't you talk about the campaign? What was at stake? What happened? What we did? And I'll fill in any gaps, so don't worry about that. But just as someone who was leading the campaign from the grass tops, not the grassroots, because you're a leader, so from the grass tops. Talk about, if you can, the evolution of the issue, why it was so important, and what yesterday meant in terms of a victory.
Well, it all started with the election, when we all knew his plans to join hands with the Republicans in Congress to remove the Affordable Care Act. He initially started with the promise to repeal and replace, and that quickly became repeal only, since they couldn't get the repeal and replace because, you know, healthcare is hard. 7.5 years later,
so hard.
it's still hard.
Who'd have thunk it?
That'd be hard. So we started with all of the rallies and save our healthcare, save the ACA, fix it, don't nix it. I mean, there's all kinds of fun little slogans out there. But when it came down to it, it came down to millions and millions and millions of Americans were going to lose, or possibly still could, lose their health care. So the battle being fought was fought hard. It was fought in 20-degree weather. It was fought in 97-degree weather. It was fought in thunderstorms. It was fought in days where we froze our little butts off and you know, sweating out there like whatever. being sure to hydrate kind of deal. But yeah, it's been a long battle. We need to fist pump and we need to high five ourselves. We need to celebrate this because she actually did come out on the side of West Virginians this time. And we're going to hold her to it. We're going to make sure she sticks with us and that she does no harm to this state. And whether it be healthcare, whether it be budget, whether it be anything that's coming down the pike, where this battle is continuing.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. Let me just say, this victory is a victory of people power. What the folks in the Eastern Panhandle, the resistance movement in the Eastern Panhandle did was literally made thousands of phone calls to Capito's office, sent thousands of postcards to Capito's office, did lobby visits every Friday, Susan, for 2 or 3 months. Susan and I were at most of those lobby visits and did rally after did a rally a week, some kind of demonstration a week, a die-in in downtown Martinsburg, a die-in in downtown Shepherdstown, a die-in in downtown Charlestown. What's a die-in? Well, it's when a bunch of people lay down on the sidewalk and hold a tombstone that says, "Trump killed my health care and killed me." Or, you know, a cardboard tombstone, or whatever the message was. I think mine said resist. The important thing here is this was a victory of people power. People in West Virginia, but particularly, I think I'm right in saying this, in the Eastern Panhandle, particularly, it's almost all women. I mean, I'm not a woman for certain. Cheryl said she'd make me an honorary sister. Yeah. One of the many exciting things about the resistance is the resistance movement is that it's women led. Now, Dana, you're coming up. You're on deck. You're up to bat in a little bit, Dana Phillips. And your role is to create the electorate in the Eastern Panhandle that will allow us to win in state legislative races and maybe a congressional race in 2018. Tell us what you're going to do with Rock the Vote. Dana Phillips and Rock the Vote.
Thank you, Stuart. I am with Coalition for Democracy, and we have worked together with Rock the Vote to create these voter registration drives in our community. We had one in June at Charlestown's Third Thursday. We have a second one coming up this Thursday from 5 to 8. So if you can, get down to Charlestown and rock your vote. Make sure you are registered, or if you have to change your information. We just want you to register at this point. The party that you register with, we have no concern right there.
Right.
We just need people to register because your vote does count at every level, regardless of what some people like to say. So, you know, we encourage, you know, if you know, young people, 18-year-olds, actually you can register to vote when you're 17.
And you're going to be working with the schools on this, right, Dana?
Yes. Our team, the voter registration team, we have a great group of women who are going out and working with the schools and universities, colleges. We are going to work to have voter registration drives on campuses. laws, and to make sure that they're fair and that, you know, that nobody is bullied into not voting or being told that their vote will not count. You know, it's the lack of education that is making these people feel that their vote does not count.
Great. Thank you so much, Dane. I have to say that, you know, I'm a new resident in West Virginia. I moved here. What, John, in November, December, and January? That's sort of...
You arrived with Trump.
Yeah, but John, come on now. I was the antidote to Trump.
Isn't that amazing how the cure and the disease
came at the same time, y'all? So I wasn't registered to vote here. I kept my registration in Maryland, even when I was in Kentucky and the 3 years I spent living in Philly. I kept my registration in Maryland, which was until about a month ago, really continued to be my home. But Cheryl signed me up. She registered me to vote, and I'm now registered to vote in West Virginia. You notice how I say that, Tennessee-wise, registered. There's no G in registered. Like there's no T in Balmer. I knew that's where you took that picture. No, Cheryl signed me up to vote, so we're signing up everybody. Please get out and register to vote with Little Miss Dana Phillips, sounding like Porter Wagner right here, talking about, what was her name? Dolly Parton.
Little Miss Dolly.
Little Miss Dolly. Y'all welcome Little Miss Dolly out here.
So what if she had big hair, you know? She was
Well, John, yeah, you were looking at the hair, right, brother? Yeah, you were looking at the hair.
I am not Don Rickles, okay? You know, I just want you to know. Okay.
Don Rickles?
Every time Don Rickles had a joke, he always told a Dolly Parton joke, you know, which was not really funny.
Right.
I mean,
it didn't have to be. He said Dolly Parton.
For a while.
Don Rickles says Dolly Parton's. Dolly Parton, he gets laughs.
Yeah, yeah, right. But
on the Carson show.
Well,
now,
you know,
John and I are showing
anybody
our
that
age.
Frowned like me or didn't laugh, you know, he would tell them, well, you look like an olive with its pimento hanging out, you know, something ugly like that. That's what he would do. A Don Rickles joke.
Right. We are not pausing. The resistance in the Eastern Panhandle is not pausing. We won. I told a lot of our leaders yesterday, we won a victory that will be one of the biggest victories you ever win in your life. It's one of the biggest victories I've ever been part of. Not the biggest, but one of the biggest I've ever been part of. But we ain't letting up. Now, Susan and I were at a meeting, a business meeting last night in Charlestown. I mean, go to the rally. Meet with her staff, have them read a statement from the senator that she wrote to prepare for our meeting with her staff. She wrote that statement, or her folks wrote that statement. And then 6 hours later, we were talking about next steps. And that's the way this resistance is going to roll. We're going to keep fighting, keep pushing, keep raising hell. Cheryl, talk about the satisfaction you find in our work. Cheryl stays real busy. Nobody here gets paid except psychically. We all get paid a lot psychically. But Cheryl's been one of the most active of our leaders. If you don't mind, talk about, you know, what you get out of this work and why you put so much effort into it.
Oh, what I get out of this work. First of all, the background is I have never been an activist before in my entire life. The election, the Women's March on January 21st, all that good stuff brought me out of my little safety cocoon and into, we need to do something about this. And the reasons I do it are, some are selfish. I'm a 58-year-old female with pre-existing conditions who has benefited from the ACA. Mostly I do this for my grandkids. I have got granddaughters. I've got grandsons. But this fight is for them. It's to say what is wrong, and what we do is right. And every time we win a small victory battle like we did yesterday, it's gratifying. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm not just sitting back and, excuse the word, bitching and complaining about this. This is internet radio, so I can say bitching.
You can go farther than that. Well, but the children are listening. So
okay. I'll do it right now. Right now, bitching is good for now. I might have to throw some other words out there later on. But yeah, it's gratifying because I'm doing something and I'm getting results from doing something. I'm not just sitting there and complaining and saying, "Oh, my vote doesn't count," or "What can one person do?" It's like, the power is in the people. The power are the numbers. The power is getting out there with like-minded individuals and showing this state and showing the country, as this movement has become, what's important to all of us. It's not just these individuals fighting for their own benefits. It's we're fighting for everybody. We're not just fighting for ourselves.
Absolutely. You know, this is a collective victory. It's a collective movement. It's not an individual movement. And, you know, I have to say that one of the reasons we have stymied this fascist in the White House, as we have, is because the resistance movement is led by women. And the truth of the matter is, and I've been doing this work for 40 years, you know, ain't probably nobody in the world knocked on more doors than I have, put up more yard signs than I have, handed out more leaflets than I have. I know John thinks he's done more, but he hadn't. Raised more hell. And you win collectively. And women know how to work together better than men do. That's just the truth. Women have more courage and more psychic strength than men. So I'm really glad. Cheryl, you're going to have to say that on the air. You have to say that on the air.
We wear our ovaries on the outside.
I always say my balls are higher up. Susan, you're going to have to say that on the air.
And my balls are higher up.
I'm not going to say anything about juggling any balls. So I just want to give y'all a real quick wrap up sort of the evolution of the issue and the campaign. First off, they were going to repeal Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and they were going to replace it with very, very little. Basically, they were going to do away with the Affordable Care Act, the Medicaid expansion, the subsidies, and all the rest of it to take that money and give huge tax breaks to the top 2% earners in the country. It was going to be one of the most massive redistributions of wealth from the poor and the middle, essentially from the working class, seniors and children, to the wealthy in this country that's ever been. It amounted to about $70 billion that they were going to take from saving people's lives. People just like you, if you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, like Ed Knox in Denver, Colorado, with IBEW, I know he's listening right now. If you're a working person or identify with working folks, or if you're low income or if you're a senior, they were going to take money for your health care away from your health care and give it in tax breaks to the very, very wealthy. And the other thing is they were going to use this effort as the first step to roll back Medicaid and Medicare and to and Paul Ryan as much as said this, the aficionado of Ayn Rand, Paul Ryan essentially said this is our first effort to do away with entitlements. And every time McConnell came up with another bill that he cobbled together, we engaged. We fought back. We stepped up the activity. We made more voices heard more loudly. And then week after week, as he tried to find a formula that he could pass in his own Senate that he leads with 52 Republicans, as he tried to find a formula to take $70 billion in health care away from Americans and give it to the fantastically rich, until finally Trump said and McConnell said, yes, we're just going to repeal the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and we'll replace it later. Well, it's like I told Susan yesterday morning, they weren't never going to replace it. If they got a repeal this week, and they were going to vote it this week, if they got a repeal this week, we would have never seen any kind of replacement. The people who depended on Obamacare, on the Affordable Care Act, they would go back to getting nothing. And that's what was at stake in this fight, and that's what we won. Now, is the fight over? No, it's not over. I mean, I don't know whether or not the fight about health care is over for now. It's not over permanently. We know that. I don't know if it's over for now, but we certainly know there are many other issues that have yet to be resolved. Jobs, real jobs, creation of real jobs, an infrastructure program to make us more productive and put more people back to work at good-paying jobs, livable wages, the kind of jobs you can support a family on and raise a family on and sustain a family on. You know, Trump campaigned on that infrastructure program. He was going to put, what was it, $700 billion into it? And he hadn't done a damn thing. He's been passing all these bills and signing all this legislation. He's been signing all this legislation to rename post offices, to rename interstate highways, and to do nothing. But he's not moving on what he said he would for average people. Now, John and I occasionally have a discussion about trade policy. And Donald Trump went to the upper Midwest, cities and towns a lot like Martinsburg, West Virginia, victims of deindustrialization, and he said, I'm going to stop these trade deals, and I'm gonna restore manufacturing, and we're going to move jobs back into these upper Midwest industrial cities. And yet we see this week, this is Made in America Week, and all of Ivanka's shoes are made in China.
Say that.
Ivanka Trump has nothing made in the U.S. All of her products are made overseas.
The question is, was Ivanka made in the U.S.?
Oh, John!
That's something I really don't want to know or even get that mental image, but thanks.
Was Ivana his first wife, John?
I know. Is there ever a first wife for Donald Trump? I mean, would the first wife actually admit it? I don't know. She might, but...
Yeah.
I mean, he made them all sign confidentially.
Oh, sure.
Agreements.
If you were Donald Trump, you'd make them sign non-disclosure.
Well, I mean, it looks like Melania doesn't want any part of the deal, but obviously she signed the piece of paper and she's on for the whole ride.
Right.
I'm sure he told her, sorry, babe, you can't get out now.
She probably stays hammered.
You know? I think Ivanka and... Melania and Donald do a lot of coke. That's what I think.
I don't think so. You know, look.
We don't have any assets. So
I think there's a lot of affection there. I just don't think she wanted to be first lady. That's all. You know, I watched her, you know, when he had a bee attacking his hand, how she swatted it. That's a very generous act, you know. Most people don't want to touch a
bee.
Get
rid of the bee. The big bastard.
The big bee. I'm a big bee. You know.
We're so happy to have John Case, who's
I don't
engineering
even care about
this
GMOs
today.
So it's gonna
the
be
the president and CEO and founder of EnlightenRadio.org. Susan, what do we have on the horizon for the rest of the summer with Women's March and Vigilance?
I can certainly speak for Women's March, but like you said, healthcare is not over. There will be a very large healthcare action program in D.C. on the 29th. But there's also a March for Racial Justice that's coming up, and every chapter for Women's March, such as in the Eastern Panhandle, we make our own decisions because we have mission statements for civil rights or women's rights. And my in Shepherdstown has decided that we needed to work against violence and gun to have better control for gun measures because we do believe in the Second Amendment. But anyway, I joined the NAACP to work for civil rights, that we need to basically be able to talk and be able to, it's really hard to be able to explain what white privilege is to people. And that is a discussion that needs to be opened up. And the only way you can do that is by reaching into the community. And that is so important nowadays because we have been, especially from the president and all the way down, we have been told over and over again, like with the immigration and the refugees, and it's just been blasted out there that, you know, that these people, and he uses these words like these people are a menace to our society. And yet that is untrue. So, you know, we're going to react and we're going to keep on going because we want to make sure that our communities are safe.
Great, 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 great. So it's, you know, Lord have mercy. Who would have ever thought that I'd move to West Virginia in my first summer, I would have the busiest August of my entire life. You know, Susan, I'm glad nobody told you that you're supposed to slow down at the end of July and August because we ain't slowing down. Cheryl, we've had you on the radio once before, and we really appreciated that. Talk a little bit about your personal goals related to the resistance movement. What do you want to be part of accomplishing, and what does it mean to you?
Wow, that's a lofty question. My personal goals in being part of the resistance is in the word resistance. It's to resist what's going on in our country. It's to bring common sense and destroy the hate that's been brought forward. I found myself reaching out more, to stick my hand out, shake a hand, smile when I walk by people, especially people of color. Introducing myself, as Susan mentioned, white privilege is real. And as a white person, I know it's real, as most white people do, but a lot of them refuse to recognize. People of color know white privilege is real. There's no telling them. They know it's there. So my personal goals are to help to return this country in whatever way I can, a little small thing, back to the America that is America for everybody, not America for this disgusting individual that's idiot in the Oval Office and the hate that he's brought forward. And it needs to be equality. I mean, all men are created equal, and you know, in parentheses as women in there. It does right. not just men. it's assumed that we're all equal and we're not treated equal. A good thing that shows that would be Jared Kushner's security clearance. Any Joe Blow applying for a job that needed a security clearance, if they'd done what he did, sorry, buddy, you're out of luck.
In prison.
And in jail.
Yeah, and in jail and being prosecuted for perjury.
Right.
So that's my personal goal is to get out there and fight what I believe is right and to try to realign this country to where it needs to be.
Dana, I don't want to put you on the spot. This is your first time on Resistance Radio, EnlightenRadio.org. But what do you get out personally of this activity, this collective activity, which we don't see enough of in America, but thank God, which we're seeing more and more of right now?
I think it's the realization and the accomplishment that our voices are actually being heard. And you know, we're taking these actions and you know, our government is listening.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's a big deal. Whereas, you know, if we had tried this, you know, 10 years ago, I don't think we would be, you know, as effective as we are today.
Right.
It's the being heard, you know, and making the difference. You know, we are trying to make a difference for our children, for our grandchildren. You know, we want to leave a legacy that we can be proud of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got great news this week. My 17-year-old son may be coming to Martinsburg to live with me, which would be wonderful. The reason he might be coming is not so wonderful, but he's 17. And when I was 17, I was a wild ass. When I was 27, I was a wild ass. When I was 37, I was a wild ass. When I was 47 and 57. I've mellowed out now. I am Mr. Chill. John, can you find, we might take a little musical break now if our engineer is game for it.
What do you want to hear?
Can you find
what?
The Weight?
No, I have that.
Can you? Okay, The Weight from
well,
Last
just
Dance.
So you know that the one from the band, The Weight, I mean the Last Waltz,
yeah.
Has a little bit of Richard Manuel in front of it. Okay, just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
I pulled into Nazareth just feeling about half-past dead. Just need to find a place where I can lay my head. Mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? He just grinned and shook my hand. No was all he said. Take a load off Fanny. Take a load for free. Take a load off Fanny. My bags and went looking for a place to hide. When I saw old Carmen and the devil walking side by side, and I said, hey Carmen, come on, let's go downtown. She said, I gotta go, but my friend can stick around. Mm-hmm. Take a load off Fanny. Take a load for free. Down Moses, there's nothing that you can say. It's just old Luke
and Luke are waiting on the judgment day. Hey Luke, my friend, what about a young Anna Lee? He said, do me a favor, son, I want to stay and keep her Anna Lee company. Yeah.
Take a load off Annie, take a load for free.
In the fog, he said, I will fix your rack if you take old Jack, my dog. I said, wait a minute, Chester, you know I'm a peaceful man. He said, that's okay, boy, won't you feed him whenever you can? Come on,
take a load off. Cannonball, and it take me on down the line. Cause my bag is sinking low, and I do believe that it's time to get back to Miss Fanny. You know, she's the only one. She sent me here with the regards for everyone.
Yeah. That was the band and the Staple Singers from The Last Waltz, the last concert the band ever did. One of the greatest concerts in the history of the United States. They had the Staples on there. They had Mavis and the rest of them.
Yeah.
So here's the wonderful thing. Y'all listening to an old West Tennessee boy right now, the capital of West Tennessee and the capital of Mississippi is Memphis, Tennessee. And the Staples were from Memphis. They recorded on Stax. Pops was a long time recording, regional recording star, area recording star, city recording star in Memphis and the area. But John knows this. Do you know this, listeners? That Levon Helm, the drummer and one of the songwriters for the band, is from Helena, Arkansas, which is just about 100 miles down the Mississippi River from Memphis. It sits right on the river. In fact, they used to have a blues festival in Helena. They used the levee of the river as their seating area. They had a natural kind of amphitheater. Put a stage up at the bottom of the levee. People sat on the levee on the grass right behind the Mississippi River for the blues festival. Well, Levon Helm took, I know this because I spent a little bit of time in Helena, Arkansas. Levon Helm took the band to Helena. And you may remember, John, you probably do remember this, that in Helena, every day at noontime, they had a two-hour radio show called the King Biscuit Flower Hour.
Oh, that I didn't know that was broadcast from Helena, but yeah, okay.
Yeah. The original one. I don't know if the FM album stations played the original one, but the original one still is. Now it's an hour long show at noon every day.
Wow.
But Levon brought him down there to teach him about the blues and teach him about Mississippi River funk, right? Mm. And Robbie Robertson, Levon's writing partner, wrote, no wonder the blues come from the Delta. They got the rhythm from the river and the lyrics from life.
There you go.
Yeah. That's why that part of the country is so important. The best music in the world.
Wait a minute. It took a Canadian to see that?
Well, I'm not saying it took a Canadian to see that. I saw that.
Oh, you saw it too. Okay, right. Yeah, right, okay.
But I just didn't have the amplification
right.
that okay. Robbie Robertson had.
I know.
We got a lot to do in this resistance movement, y'all. We're on Resistance Radio every Wednesday at 10 a.m., every Wednesday at 10 a.m. We couldn't be on last week because of equipment problems, which...
soundboard died.
Our soundboard died. Yeah,
we have a replacement right here.
You cannot broadcast radio shows without soundboards. And when the soundboard died, John had to go get another soundboard and hook it up.
We were broadcasting music though from my home. I could broadcast music, Eddie, but the microphones have to plug into a soundboard.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you got a
We got the same kind. I didn't buy $1,000 soundboard. No, I bought a $79.99 soundboard.
And that's a good thing because you didn't increase my dues for membership
radio station. I kept it.
By the way, I think I owe you $20 today, brother.
I'm glad to hear that because it helps out. I'm also looking at any time for people who want to. Contribute to the labor. Actually, the labor is more of a problem than the money. I talk to my good friend Zaki all the time, who basically half funded the station. But anyway, and I say, Zaki, I need to get some more help producing your show. And he says, John, I have more money than time. How about I write you a check? I says, man, I'm not interested in coming out
John
of retirement.
John K. said, how big?
I did. That's true. But that's okay. We
paid how big a check?
But it didn't solve the problem. Then anyway, so I'm still looking for young people, especially little geeky people, that might be interested in learning things that could earn them six-figure incomes.
Yeah, and we're going to wind up giving these women from the resistance movement a radio
automation
show.
Software is the same software they use to take apart mountaintops.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So we're maybe going to get these women to take a radio show on enlightenradio.org.
That'd be great.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great? That'd be
a lot
of fun.
You know, you put it together. It's really not that hard to do. I mean, I'm saying this on the air because I want other people to understand that it takes you about, you have to practice 3 or 4 times to get it, what's going on with the... soundboard and the computers. We had this problem at Shepherd University, and every radio station that operates on volunteer help, it's like, oh my God, I don't think I can operate that little potentiometer right there. That. Oh my God, I couldn't touch that. You know, but it's actually once you get over your fear of knobs, you find out that it's just like anything else, and you can focus on great radio content and building your community, which is the whole idea.
And what a great community we have of resistance in the Eastern Panhandle. It's not going away. It's not slowing down. It's not stopping. We're just using this step as a jumping off place, as a springboard, as a diving platform for what we're going to do next. Last night, coming back from the Charlestown meeting in Resistance Land, it's called the Huddle. From the Charlestown Huddle, I was riding with Sherry Harris, great leader. She wants to focus on membership. And so, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters, we need your membership in Women's March, and we need your membership in Vigilance, and which is the indivisible affiliate in the Eastern Panhandle, Vigilance and Women's March. they work very closely together, and I know that there are lines of demarcation, but I get to ignore those lines of demarcation. To me, it's one thing, the resistance in the Eastern Panhandle. And so happy to be part of it. So happy, you know, it's really wonderful to watch such a mighty social movement rise up from despair in America. And it is a mighty social movement. We have stymied the Republican anti-American strategy. We have stymied the Republican treasonous strategy. We have stymied those who would give all the wealth and all the power to the people at the very top. John, as we're beginning, getting close to wrapping up this show, could you find something appropriate that the boss wrote and sang? We could use a look, you know, you might find that song that goes with the tattoo on my right arm.
That's which says, you got to read it for me.
I don't know. Retreat.
No surrender.
No surrender.
Can we do the rising instead?
Yeah, you can do the rising.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, let's do. Hey, y'all, make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 10 o'clock from 10 to 11. It's Resistance Radio with your host, Stuart Acuff. Friends and neighbors, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is the rock of Appalachia, the blues of the Blue Ridge, the voice of the resistance. Be with us every Wednesday at 10 o'clock. This is the boss.
Can't see nothing in front of me.
Coming up next on Walk City stuff here. Economics. About an hour from now. Take care of each other.
Can't feel nothing but this chain that binds me. Lost track of how far I've gone. Far I've gone, how high I climb. On my back's a 60-pound stone. On my shoulder, half mile line. Come on up for the rising. Come on up, lay your hands in mine. Come on up for the rising. Come on up, we're rising tonight. Left the house this morning. In the garden of a thousand sighs,
There's holy pictures of our children dancing in a sky filled with light. May I feel your arms around me. May I feel your blood mixed with mine. Dream of life comes to me like a catfish dancing on the end of my line. Sky of blackness and sorrow, sky of love, sky of tears, sky of glory and sadness, sky of mercy, sky of fear.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, you've been listening to Resistance Radio on www.enlightenradio.org. Lots of folks sending me messages liking this show today. If you like this show, tune in every Wednesday at 10 o'clock for more Resistance Radio. God love you. God bless you. Stuart Acuff loves you. And I'll see you next Wednesday, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, ladies and gentlemen, from the Rock of Appalachia. Bye, y'all.